in Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed in him. At the church that Ellen and I attend in wonderful Newburgh, part of every Sunday worship is for the pastor or someone involved in the worship experience to say, God is good. And we respond, all the time. And then he says, all the time, and our response is, God is good. Yeah. And I've heard that in other churches too. And personally, I like it. I think it's a great reminder to us that God is good all the time. It's his inherent nature. As God says, I am the Lord, I change not. I'm not like that human beings that can be one thing one day and the next day something else. God is good all the time. But the truth is that there are times in our life when it doesn't seem that way or appear that way to us. Times it seems God has forgotten us or at worst turned himself against us. And those times, whether they are from minor or major things, from disappointments, hurts, sorrows, grief, whatever they might be, the Bible calls those times of darkness. When it appears that the light has gone out, and we don't see that God is good all the time, and we wonder, has he left us to be on our own? That's an experience that all Christians have, all people have, whether they believe in God or not. And God has a wonderful solution. It's a word that I have gone to again and again, literally camped upon many times, to be reminded God's in control. And when the lights go out, this is what God wants us to do. It's verse 10 and 11, not 1 through 11, as your little bulletin says. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with firebrands, walk in the light of your own fire, and among the brands you have set ablaze. Then you will hear from me and from my hand, and you will lie down in torment. God reminds us that darkness comes to everybody. Notice he said, even if you are the most devout follower of Jesus Christ, if you have a great fear and a holy reverence for God, and you want to serve God and be God's kid in this world because he's done so much for you, it doesn't matter. There are no exemptions or exceptions. If you live in this world, you're going to have times of darkness when things don't seem to add up. They don't make sense. And you say, oh, God, where are you? I don't see you in this. And those are crucial times, brethren, very crucial times, because either we will press on by faith to the blessing that God has already prepared, or we will come up with our own solution to the problem we have and forfeit the promise and the blessing that God has prepared for us and only bring upon ourselves greater problems than what we have. The crucial times when the lights go out and we want to make sure we light the right candle or turn on the right light bulb. First of all, God reminds us that comes to everybody because it's in a broken and fallen world. There are no exceptions to that anywhere. And that's why God wants us to remember we're not being singled out when we have these times of darkness as though, well, everybody out there seems to be doing well. They don't have any problems and troubles. No, no. It's part of the world in which we live. Darkness comes to us. But to we who are God's people, it is a time of a special darkness because it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. But we are going through the hurt, the sorrow, the disappointment, whatever it might be, the tragedy. It doesn't make sense to this word of God, that God is sovereign, that God is in control. He's full of compassion and mercy and goodness and love. And he has his eye on his people, and he has promised to work all things together for good, just as we just heard. Those are times of darkness. And God wants us to persevere by faith, to look to him and let him lighten the darkness. These are inevitable things that happen to believers. Questions about life come to us as believers because things aren't adding up to the truth that we know about God and what he's promised to us. You see, brethren, if it's true, as some people tell us today, and really quite a few people today, tell us that a long time ago, several billion years at least, somehow this universe and this world came into being. And then after 100 million years or so or longer, then something happened in the ocean, and there was life formed within the ocean. And then you go on another 100 million years or so, and then what was in the ocean came out of the ocean onto dry land. And then you add another 100 million years or two or three, and that finally evolved into what we are today, human beings. And so when things go wrong, if that's your conviction, then there's no question to ask because there's no reason, no purpose for life. Nobody's home. We're here left to ourselves. No reason, no purpose. Everything happened by random chance. So there's no sense asking questions. Why? What's going on? No one's got the answer because everything is just happening by chance. But you see, as God's kids, it's just where the questions come in. It's not making sense. It's not adding up to what we're experiencing and what we know about God from his word. I think John the Baptist is an excellent example of that. John the Baptist, so privileged and so honored to be the forerunner of the promised Messiah. For centuries, God's people were waiting and looking for the Messiah. And then he came, and God chose John to go out and proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God is here, repent is here, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What a unique honor and privilege, and what a special ministry he had. And then what happened to John? He got arrested and thrown in prison. Not because he was a criminal, but Herod didn't like what he was preaching, and so threw him in prison. And then what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. I can imagine John sitting in that prison saying, I want to go out and fulfill my ministry. So I imagine he could have expected that Jesus was going to walk in any day and just say, let John go or you guys are all toast. Or he's just going to send an earthquake and shake everything up and I'll go free. And what happens? John just sits there and nothing happens. And so he gets a few of his disciples and he says, go ask Jesus, have we got it straight? Are you for real? Or have we missed the mark and we need to look for somebody else? Questions come of faith. And the disciples return with Jesus' message. Tell him that everything is going on just as it was before. Everything, John, that you saw or heard of Jesus, he continues to do as the sovereign God walking in the flesh, proving he is the Messiah. And so I believe that God, through Jesus said to John, just keep on keeping on. Keep on believing. You may be in the dark, but I'm always in the light, and I know what's going on. So times of darkness are inevitable. And God's specific directions are found in these two verses of Isaiah 50. I don't know of any other place where you can find it so clearly stated and so simply. God says, first of all, don't light your own candle. Don't try and find your own way through the darkness, trying to figure out with your wisdom what I need to do about this situation and how I need to react or respond. Don't light your own candle. He says you'll always end up with problems. Because the mind of God is contrary to the mind of the Lord. The mind of man is contrary to the mind of the Lord. And the way that seems right unto us is the Bible is always a way of regret and destruction. Or the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. And so we're in the darkness, whether it's a minor thing or a major thing, whether we're irritated, disappointed, frustrated with a tragic event or whatever it might be. God says, don't light your own candle. Don't make your own fire to try and get your way through this time. Again, we have a great illustration of that in the scripture. Abraham and Sarah, that wonderful promise God gave to them. You're going to have a son, and from that son, there will come a great nation that I will call to be my own people. And out of that people, I will bring forth the Messiah. Wow, what a promise. But what happened? Nothing. Sarah's beyond the time of having a child, and they have no son. And so I think it's possible that Sarah said, you know, we need to help God out, make this thing happen. And she said, well, why don't you take Hagar, my servant girl, and you have a child with her, and we'll claim that child to be our own, and that'll take care of the promise and everything else. Well, that was not according to God's plan. It was not the son he had chosen. And Ishmael became a thorn in the flesh in their marriage. And the descendants of Ishmael, as they went on generations and generations, became a people who were irritation and a thorn to the people of God. Don't light your own fire. Keep on walking in the light. Fix your eyes on Jesus and persevere. One of my favorite little stories is about a fellow who, at lunch every time, would open his lunchbox and he'd say, bologna sandwiches. I hate bologna sandwiches. And that went on for several days, and finally the guys he's working with said, why don't you ask your wife to make something different? He said, it won't matter. It won't make any difference. And he said, why? What's wrong? He says, I make my own sandwiches. And isn't that true? Much of the baloney in our own life is we made our own baloney sandwiches. Not all of it, but you're aware of it in your life. I'm aware of it in mine. We make our own baloney sandwich. So God says, don't light your own fire. It's not going to work. Instead, God says, lean on me and trust in me to see you through. For I'm the light of the world. I'm always in the light, always in control, and always have a plan seeking to bless and to do good. So lean on me and trust in me, and you'll find God's strength and grace to persevere until you see God's blessing come to you. That's the theme of Scripture, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and he will direct your path. Trust him. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't light your own fire in times of darkness. Lean on him who is the light of the world, who is absolutely in control and can bless you and do great things in and through your life. There's a song that I like, don't sing it very often, but the words are so significant. The songwriter said, if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to depend upon his word. Keep that in mind. That's an opportunity. Whenever we are confronted with a darkness, we don't know what's going on. We don't know exactly what to do, except that God says, you keep on doing the right thing. Keep on walking in my ways, living your life by my word, and I'll lead you to the promised land. Whatever that is in your life, I've prepared something for you. Many years ago, I had a good brother in the Lord say to me, as you go through life, he said, make sure you take time frequently to look in your rearview mirror. Now, he wasn't giving me instructions about driving my car. He's talking about life. Make sure you take time to look in the past, to see where you've come from. And he said, so often you will see that God was in those difficult times of life, that God was there, and as you look to him, he led you through, and you have received a great blessing, a wonderful blessing at times that you never would have known if you hadn't gone through that time of darkness. Brethren, that's the wonderful thing about life. God is there to help us, and he's faithfully keeping his word that strengthens and encourages and nourishes our faith, that we know we have laid hold of the true and living God, the God of this word, because we've seen him work. We've seen him again and again keep his promise and watch over his kids and bless them and lead them through darkness into his wonderful plan of new life. So keep on giving thanks, as the scripture says, focusing on God, who is the life giver and the one who provides every blessing we need. That's very important. Give thanks in all things. I probably have told you this, but I love this story because it happened to me many years ago when I was a lot younger. And I was asked to have a service over at the Willamette. I think it's the Willamette Senior Center off of River Road. And it was around Thanksgiving time, and I had used a message I had given about in everything give thanks. So after the service, we're greeting a few people, and an older lady comes out, and she said, do you mean if a woman has an alcoholic husband, she ought to give thanks? I said, well, the text says, in everything, give thanks. She looked at me, she said, Sonny, you haven't lived long enough. See, it doesn't say, in everything, give thanks for it, because there are sad, tragic, evil things that happen in life. God is not the author of evil, but give thanks in it. Look above and beyond to the time of darkness, to the problem, to the hurt, whatever it might be, the disappointment, to the one who is forever the same, who is good all the time, who is full of love, who has shown that love in his Son, Christ crucified and risen for us, and that by faith in him, we are his kids and cleansed of our sin and are the apple of his eye. It's very possible that some of you here tonight may be going through a rather difficult time of darkness. Or maybe it's not such a major time, but it's still nevertheless a dark time of frustration or disappointment. And if that's so, then God brought you here to hear tonight his word for you. Don't light your own fire. Don't come up with your great plan to deal with it. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Build your life upon his word. Keep on doing what you know God wants you to do, to pray and to read his word and to fellowship with God's people, to worship and to seek to be a blessing as you have been blessed. On the other hand, there's probably a number of us here today who are doing quite well. Let's say, I'm not aware of any real dark time or tragic thing that I'm dealing with. Well, if that's where you are, thank God for that moment or that season of life. But then you might want to take your Bible and make a big circle or a square or something around Isaiah 50, verse 10 and 11. So when a time of darkness comes, you can open your Bible and find God's specific direction and promise how you can be successful and be victorious and live as the forever winner that God calls us in Christ to be. The Lord is able, more than able, to meet every need. I think I said that last week. There's nothing greater than God himself. No problem bigger than our Lord. He can handle it. Trust him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you come to us in your word and you let us know that we are going to have times of darkness. Lord, not so that we would walk around with a cloud over our head and wondering when the next tragic thing is going to happen or the next time of darkness will befall us. But Lord, just to remind us, we live in a broken world. And that brokenness will break in upon our life one time or another or even more. But Lord, you are always there and you're always good, always in control. And so, Lord, may we build this wonderful truth into our life, to lean on you, trust in you, and you will see us through and lead us to the blessing you have already prepared. So keep us, Lord, from ever trying to light our own fire, come up with our own great solutions to the problems we face, but to lean strongly on you and to follow your way and to experience your faithfulness and goodness expressed in our lives. To your glory and praise, in Jesus' name, amen.